Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Christ Jesus, our substitute, who bore the curse of the cross for us, dear fellow redeemed. Death is the loudest preaching of sin in this world. Why do people die? Why do they die by the hundreds and thousands and one by one? Because of sin. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "The sting of death is sin." In Romans 6 he said, "The wages, the payment for sin, is death." In Romans 5 he wrote, "Therefore just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." The Lord God himself said to Adam and Eve when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, "For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Man broke God's law and sinned. And man brought down upon himself sin's curse, which is death. Why do people die? Because of their sin. So, why did Jesus die? He was sinless. The Bible is very clear. He's called the righteous one. We're told he knew no sin. In Hebrews 4, we read, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus said to all of his accusers and enemies, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" So if Jesus is sinless, a sinless human being, then why didn't he just live forever like Adam and Eve would have if they would not have sinned? The answer to that question is found in this evening's sermon text, Paul's words to the Galatians in chapter 3, verse 13, where we read, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" This is a lesson on death. The Apostle Paul is clearly laying before his readers and us in this text the core of Christianity, justification. We're declared righteous in God's eyes. That's only through faith, not by works. Why not by works? Why can't we be righteous in God's eyes and be justified and perfect before God? Because of the curse of sin. Paul writes in the verses just prior to our text, in verse 10 of chapter 3, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' Everyone who depends upon his own merits, his own works, to try and stand before God in righteousness is under the curse." The curse of sin, which is death. That curse hangs over you. That curse hangs over me, over all people. Every single human being is cursed with sin and therefore is subject to death. Everybody has that, whether they know it or not. And unfortunately, most don't know. They don't know why people die. Well, they know they die because of diseases and murders and accidents and so forth. They don't really know why mankind dies. God, in his law, demanded of us perfection. When we broke that law, God came down with his judgment. Guilty. Guilty guilty of breaking every single one of my commandments in thought, in word, and in deed. And the just verdict, the only just verdict, was death. Physical death and eternal death. Now, if that would be the end to this lesson on death, it would be disastrous. It would mean that after a lifetime, good times and bad times, happy times and sad times, a lifetime of misery and loss and sicknesses and disease and all the problems of life, we'd just face death. Then after death, we'd have the misery and torment of everlasting death to look forward to. What a miserable future to have. But thank God that this Christmas, on this Good Friday, it's not the end of this lesson on death. For again, our text says, Christ has redeemed us from. Christ bought us back. Christ paid the price. Christ is the one who ransomed us to set us free. The price of redemption, his own shed blood. But from what we're set free? Paul again tells us, the curse of the law, death. How? By Christ becoming a curse for us. It was our curse that Jesus had placed upon him. The law rightfully rested upon us. For the Father took that curse, laid it on his Son. We deserved it. Christ did not. He deserved it. He was worthy of all praise and glory and honor. Or was he? We just spent the last 6 weeks reading the Passion History of our Savior. And everybody that came into contact with Jesus during this time examined him, and they all came up with the same judgment, the same verdict. He's not guilty. The chief priests, scribes, Annas, Caiaphas, they tried to trump up charges and nothing would stick. He's not guilty. Judas even said, I betrayed innocent blood. You heard the thief on the cross say, this man is innocent of all charges. Pilate examined him, and three times he said, I find this man innocent. Pilate's wife even said to Pilate, have nothing to do with that just man. And Herod examined him, and he found him to be not guilty. Every single person that ran into Christ said the same thing. But one. God the Father. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Again, God took that curse that hung over our head, that rested upon our souls, and he laid that curse of sin, which is death, upon his Son. We read in Isaiah 53, which we've heard several times during this Lenten season, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Peter writes in his first epistle, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Christ bore our curse. He hung on the tree. And what curse was that again? Paul says, it wasn't the curse of the unjust judgment. It wasn't the curse of a corrupt court. It wasn't the curse of human law. It was the curse of God's law. God placed the sins of the whole world upon his Son. And according to his justice, his Son was rightfully being cursed. The curse that we deserved was removed from us. And God placed it on his Son and condemned him for us. For as you know, God's atoning sacrifice is the only way to salvation. Either everybody needs to be perfect or no one goes to heaven. Or one perfect substitute atones for the sins of the whole world. So the curse of sin, our death, was placed upon Jesus as our atoning sacrifice to pay for the guilt and punishment of all of our sins. That's the lesson on death that we learned this evening from our objects, the nail and the cross. The nail and the cross, of course, symbolize the crucifixion, the method that was chosen to put criminals to death, one of the most cruel and inhumane ways to die. A slow, painful, torturous, agonizing death. When we think of the cross and the nails, may we first meditate upon our sins, the death that we deserve to die. But as we look at these object lessons of our Passion's history, may we ultimately see that Jesus took our place. Jesus took that curse. Jesus took our sin and paid for it in full. He was nailed to the cross for us. He was separated from his Father. He endured eternal damnation on the cross during those hours so that you and I would never, ever have to be condemned. How terribly, terribly sad that today, every day, throughout this world, millions upon millions of people face death without that comfort, without that assurance, without that confidence. How eternally thankful we should be that of the billions of people out there in the world that don't know Jesus as their Lord, the Lord has called you and me to know Jesus. That he's led us to learn this lesson on death. That the curse of the law, death which we deserved, has been taken away from us, placed on Jesus, so that we have everlasting life. So someday when we face death, whether it be tomorrow, next year, 50 years from now, we can face death with the same confidence and yes, joy, as Simeon when he said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for the face of all people. For Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." We can face every new day with the confident joy of knowing if we live, we live in Christ. If we die in Christ, and we have everlasting life. There's an article I read about Christians living during the Roman Empire days. Amazing article. This is part of it. It stated, "Once death lost its power over life, life itself took on new meaning for the believers. We see dramatic evidence of this in the high Christian survival rates during the plagues that repeatedly hit the citizens of the ancient Roman Empire. The Romans threw people out into the street at the first symptoms of disease because they knew it was contagious and they were afraid of dying. But the Christians stayed and nursed the sick. You could only do that if you thought, so what if I die? I have eternal life." So we end our sermon where we began. The Apostle Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 15, "The sting of death is sin." But let's read the whole verse. "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Yes, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." A lesson on death. May we learn it well by knowing Jesus Christ as a substitute curse bearer. So then we'll be able to understand and appreciate the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. Better is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.